Father John is usually here, and many of you have gotten to know Father John over the year. And somebody made a goof yesterday when they were referring to Christine being here. They couldn't quite figure out how to say it, and they just made a goof. They said, Mrs. Father John. And I said, no, I don't think that's going to work. So I said, okay, that'll fine. We'll find another way to refer to Christine Moore. Christine Moore is Father John's right hand. Father John had some previous engagements this year, and so he won't be, as a result, he won't be attending either ACB nor NFB this year. But he has sent his heart here through his right hand. His right hand, never mind, that's fine. The metaphor is getting all tangled up. Ladies and gentlemen, I give to you, to representing Father John and herself, from the Xavier Society for the Blind, Christine Moore.
Hi there. I've had the pleasure of meeting a lot of you in person, and for those of you I haven't met, hello. I'm not Father John. Don't like them. I am Christine Moore, and I do work with Father John, and I have known him ever since college. Father John is in Washington, D.C. at the Catholic War Veterans National Convention, where he is their chaplain. He thought that I would give a different perspective that might be a good thing. I am the voice you often get if you call in on the phone, because we have tightened our staff, as you probably know, and there's a lot fewer of us than there used to be. I am a problem solver at the agency. I'm an enforcer. I'm a translator of what's going on. I explain the website. I do a lot of different things. To paraphrase, so I thought today I would give you a little statement of where we've been, what we're doing, and where we're going with his help. God's, not Father John's. Our basic focus of the agency is that, as Father John always says, we believe that if you give blind people the tools, basically just get out of their way. Give them the tools and get out of their way, and they can do just about anything. I'm often asked if I am visually impaired, and I have always said, no, I'm not. And Father John said to me, you're in denial. And I said, well, what are you talking about? And he said, well, you are wearing glasses. And I said, yes. And I am amblyoptic. I don't see out of one eye. I said, well, okay. So I was diagnosed as a child with amblyopia, and it was treatable then, as it is now. And the doctor said to my parents, well, she'll get used to it. So they didn't treat it. So I am blind out of one eye, and I guess getting used to it meant that I got used to falling downstairs and running into walls and catching balls with my face. And so I am slightly visually impaired, and somebody yesterday noticed that when I was guiding him into this room, I did run him into a table. So I'm sorry to whoever that was, because that's my visual impairment. I don't see depth at all. But where I get my insights into the blind community is usually from my clients, as they share their lives with me on their phone. Probably more than anyone else in the agency, I get to hear the joys, the graduations, the new grandchildren, the successful surgeries, as well as the new news of the deaths, the divorces, the sorrows of the people. Since I usually pick up the phone, I hear more than just from the clients. We also get calls from people all the time who have no idea what the Xavier Society for the Blind does. I get calls from people who are looking for Venetian blinds. I'm sure, like the NFB, we get calls from people who have no idea at all. I get calls from people saying, I'm doing a movie and I need blind people. My next question is, are you paying them anything? And then I do pass them to somebody else. We get calls from saying, I want to come to see your place and see how it is to be blind.
John did. Go to Lizzie.
Right. What is the biggest problem facing blind people? Can I just come to your place and hang around and observe? And I have to say, you know, you're not going to see a lot. You're going to see an office. And I have to explain that they're going to just see offices with embossers, because several times a day I have to explain that we are a small publishing company that provides religious and spiritual materials largely, although not exclusively, in the Roman Catholic tradition in Braille and audio formats. And this sounds as if all I do is sit and chat on the phone all day, which is not true. I really don't. I wrestle with the computer. I write letters. I work with our library system. I check books in and out. I enter new clients into the system. I ship books. I pack them into boxes. And if there's no one else to do it, I take them to the post office. Occasionally, I write pieces for publication. Recently, I wrote a short booklet about blind saints. I do what any other department needs to be have done. Sometimes, when you're a small staff, you end up doing a little bit of everything. You make things work. I've learned to duplicate discs. I've torn the edges off Braille paper. I've helped paginate for the new catechism. I've worked in annotations that are needed for the index of the catechism. Last year when Father John spoke to you, we were beginning our move to our new quarters. For those of you who don't know, we've moved from where we lived for over 50 years on 23rd Street. We were between 3rd and Lex on 23rd Street in Manhattan. And that neighborhood changed a lot through the years. It was a nefarious drug den for many years, and then it turned into kind of a student area. Baruch College became one of our neighbors, as did the School of Visual Arts. Then we have moved to right next to Penn Station, the train station, and adjacent to Madison Square Garden. We moved from a 7-story building to 7 offices. So this was a bit of a change. The economy has not been kind to not-for-profit organizations. It's been hard on individuals, and it's been harder for people to find those extra few dollars to give to their favorite charities. If we were to survive, we found we needed to tighten our belts and adjust to the brave new world. Our staff was reduced from 17 to 5. The decision was made that we no longer needed that big building. Much of our building housed a uniform Braille and a large print library books. Since the board decided that we would no longer produce large print, we had no use for the large print library, and our Braille production has moved beyond thermoform into totally interpoint Braille. Interpoint is stored essentially in the mind of the computer, and there's no longer a need for shelves full of books. Interpoint makes it much more efficient and cost-effective to produce the books as the client requests them, with the exception of a few longer books like the Braille, like the Catechism or the Bible. The thermoform was no longer needed, and we had a whole library full of it. What to do with all those books? The large print books we gave away first to clients by request, and second in batches to libraries for homes for the religious, for retired religious. Every day for several months, starting in June of 2013, we made daily trips with boxes to our local post office on 23rd Street. I exercised muscles I didn't know I had. The thermoform books we found a more creative home for. These were shipped with the help of the US military and a lovely lady in Massachusetts to Africa, and missions there that were hungry for any kind of literature. Little by little, we disbanded our old building and prepared for our move, which we accomplished almost exactly a year ago. We moved from that 7-story building to 7 offices at Tupan Plaza, and we, virtually upstairs from Penn Station, and we really moved to where the action is. It did crazy things to the commutes of a lot of people. But because I come in from New Jersey every day, now all I do is just take the train in and I go upstairs. I don't even have to go outside. For me, it's great. In our new home, we sublet space from the American Foundation for the Blind, of the Blind. We do not work with them, but we hope to combine forces on some projects in the future. Father John has known their president, Carl Augusto, for many years. I actually met him by accident one day, a few years ago. I was riding home from work one day at our 23rd Street offices on the PATH train system. For those of you who don't know, the PATH is a commuter train that connects. Do any of you know the PATH? Mm-hmm. Some of you from New York do. It connects New York and New Jersey. It was invented by Thomas Edison. My husband, trying to be, I'm from Kansas. My husband, who called me down on taking this one day, said, Thomas Edison invented it, thinking this would be great. I said, it's that old? I was like, oh, great. But he says, no, it's that reliable. I'm like, okay, great. But so I was taking the PATH, and there's a fuss in the end of one of the cars. And I noticed that a blind man there had his cane, had been broken. And several Good Samaritans were trying to put it together with rubber bands. And they were, and other things that they'd pulled out of their purses and pockets. And he was trying to tell them that this, first of all, wasn't going to work. And second of all, he didn't need that. He just needed help getting from the Hoboken, where the train ended, to his next train. And they weren't listening to him. They were treating him as if he was not only blind, but somehow mentally disabled, and they were just ignoring what anything he had to say. And this was driving me crazy, because they just weren't listening to what he had to say. So I finally got frustrated, and I went through the crowd, and I said, excuse me, sir, where are you trying to get to? And he told me what train, and I said, your train leaves 10 minutes before mine, don't worry about it. And he said, oh, good. So train stops. I grabbed him by the arm and said, come on. We got out of the train, and he said, thank you for getting me away from those people. And we proceeded to walk to his train, and I said, by the way, I work for Xavier Society for the Blind. And he burst out laughing and said, I know your boss. And he gave me his card, and he was the president of the AFB. It's a very small world, and we've been friends ever since. Now we cohabitate with the AFB and their beautiful new offices. We've moved into the new century. With a more streamlined staff and more modern consolidated offices, we needed to reinvent ourselves. We are still figuring parts of it out, but for the most part, the adjustment is going smoothly. We no longer have an in-house studio, but we now have volunteers who record for us around the country. Duplication happens in our offices. The audio library is no longer a floor with row upon row of plastic cases, but cabinets from which we pull discs as we need them. We still have embossing machines, though with a new Interpoint Braille and our desire not only to bring those materials to our clients but allow them to keep those books that they would like to keep, we now send more projects out to other places to have embossed, especially the large projects, to other contractors. We are finding new ways of doing things. We find this an exciting as we find new ways to do the jobs we've been doing all along. So people ask us, how was the move? Exhausting? Mentally? Physically? Emotionally? How are the new digs? Great. Strange. Easier in some ways, harder in others. We are adjusting. Some people hate parts of it, other people love others. It's a lot easier to tell people generally where we are. Penn Station, easy. It's a lot harder to tell people where our offices are specifically, and the security is a whole new world after 9/11. The Xavier Society began in 1900 with a few volunteers who worked to get catechetical textbooks brailled so blind children in religion classes could study just as their sighted classmates did. We carried on that tradition and expanded on that mission. We continue to reach out to children and adults alike like with our religious and spiritual materials. Even though our turmoil, through our turmoil this past year, we've continued to add new books in both our Braille and audio departments. You can see the new editions on our website under New Editions, and of course, they're announced in our quarterly Xavier Review. We've been adding great new children books, such as the Bible Stories in the Ark series and the Young Adult Vision series by Ignatius Press. The Anna B. Foundation has provided us with picture books to accompany many of the Braille children's books that have been used by many children, parents, and teachers. Blind parents can read to sighted children. Blind children share with sighted siblings. Teachers have shared the same books with sighted children and blind children. The uses are endless. We are working on recording a new audio catalog in addition to the online catalog, and the Braille catalog may be available soon also. Adventures continue around every corner. What does the future hold for the XSB? In the near future, I know we have a brand new board member who most of you probably know, Dr. Mark Maurer. In December, and this is an invitation to everyone, we will be celebrating the Feast of St. Lucy, patron saint of the blind, in a mass. You don't have to be either blind or Catholic to attend, though we will have Braille orders of the mass as well as large print orders of the mass for you to follow along at St. Patrick's Cathedral. That's December 13th at 10:30 in the morning. And everybody's invited. It's always a lovely event. Father John is a celebrant, and it's the third year we've done this, and we'd love to have you. Our newly formatted Braille Catechism is 14 volumes long and will be soon available. As I said, more children books are being done. We're getting more and more volunteer readers, so we're going to have more and more magazines available online. And Father John is working on getting some more pilgrimages together. And we're working on getting another printing of the large print Bible because we've had so many requests. Beyond that, I could not possibly have predicted what this year would have, that this year would have turned out as it has. Last fall, I was just glad to see, at this time, I was just glad to see the last of the large print books packed up and gone. I was worried that the thermoform books would not get out in time for us for the move. I couldn't possibly imagine that all of our move would happen over Thanksgiving weekend, but it did. All over the weekend, we only had a couple trips to do with carts afterwards. Hurricane Sandy didn't take us out. The move didn't kill us. We're still going strong. We're going to continue to support the people who need us. And as long as there are people who need and want what we offer, there just isn't anyone who does quite exactly what we do. And it's important for us to do it. We continue to do what we do, and we continue to do it with love and passion. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Christine.
Go ahead, Min.
Okay, I know you wanted to do our prize, but I wanted to also say a quick word about Christine. Christine has been helping us tremendously. Anything that we could possibly need in the leadership, I mean, she's just been right up here working with us. So thank
you
so much.
She's selling horse race tickets.
Yes, she is.
She and Claudia and Dan Jardine are selling horse race tickets. Buy your horse race tickets.